If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Starnes, back in the saddle. Want to thank Andy Hoosier from our great affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, the Big Talker, KQAM. Andy did a great job yesterday. As a matter of fact, was listening to Andy as I was driving around Houston yesterday with our good buddy Matt Velasquez, the owner of Patriot Talk 920, our affiliate in Houston, and just had a wonderful time. Gave a speech to the Village Republican Women. And it was interesting, as usually whenever I go to one of these speaking events, you get to sit down and you get to visit a while with the president of the group or whoever invited you to come down, and had a wonderful conversation with the president of the Village Republican Women. And she said one of the very first things she said to me is, we are the grassroots of the party. We're the worker bees. We're the folks that get out there. And we set up the tents and we man the polls on election day, the whole nine yards. And so it was really a wonderful thing. We were in the very nice Houston Racquet Club. They have a grand piano in the lobby and a chandelier, very nice place. And just had a wonderful, wonderful day. I appreciate you guys being patient. I'm back behind the microphone, I think, for good. So we don't have any major events planned for a long time. And I was really jealous because I wanted to be here to give you my take on the State of the Union address. And I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, this was exactly what President Trump needed to do. President Trump needed to knock this out of the ballpark, and he blew it away. This was, quite frankly, one of the best speeches that the president delivered in his entire presidency. It hit all the right notes. And by the way, the guy is so funny. Donald Trump and his sense of humor and the way he was, the self-deprecating humor went so far. We need to see a smidge more of that from this president. People, they relate to it. They love it. They were laughing along with him. And if anything else, the most important takeaway from what happened at the State of the Union on Tuesday is this one thing, is that President Trump and the Republican Party is standing with the American people and the Democrats are not. In a very literal and a very figurative way, that's what we all learned. And when the president invited people to stand up if they believe that we should put the well-being of American citizens first, the only people sitting on their butts, on their derrieres, on their hindquarters were the Democrats. That's it. That's who they are. While the Republicans were standing up for the American people, you had other Democrats that were out there cavorting with furries. That was a little discombobulating. That was just disconcerting and discombobulating to watch all of these Democrats dancing around on stage with people dressed in animal costumes. What's going on there? You know, and again, I hear this all the time from the conservative world. Well, these just aren't very serious people, Todd. No, they are serious people, and that's why you should be very alarmed. We can't ever allow any of these people to get anywhere near power again. By the way, there are a lot of Democrats like James Carville, and I know James Carville is a sleaze bag. Is he a likable sleaze bag? I don't know. I'd have him on the show. I would invite James Carville to come on the show, but the guy really hates Trump, and but he's also pragmatic about things. And Carville is losing his mind right now because he understands that the Democrats are being portrayed as a bunch of lunatics because they're behaving like lunatics. I mean, when you have people like Gavin Newsom, who's out there degrading the intelligence of every Southern man and woman, black and white, when you've got AOC out there and Ilhan Omar screaming like some sort of an Islamic jihadist at President Trump, when you've got Rashida Tlaib out there accusing people as they're chanting USA for the men's hockey team, she's out there mouthing the words KKK. These are very serious people. You should listen to them, and you should heed what they are saying, because they are targeting all of you, and they're going to be coming after all of us. You know, that's the big threat coming from the Democrat Party. Put us in power, and we're going to punish all these Trump supporters. They're going to go after the Homeland Security agents. They're going to go after ICE. They're going to go after Border Patrol. They're going to go after a conservative talk radio host. They're going to go after anybody who stood their ground for Donald Trump. And you should believe them. These are very dangerous people we're talking about. There really has been a revolution that's been happening in our nation on these public school campuses across the country. And this is the result of it. I mean, it is, I don't know, I call it Islamo-communist is really, I think, the appropriate terminology here. And when I was in Houston, I was just really stunned that is a huge issue in Houston, is that they are literally being overrun. The Lone Star State is literally being overrun right now by these Democrats that are flooding into the state and by the rise of Islam. There are more mosques going up than Baptist churches in the state of Texas right now. And I'm not sure that the Republicans in charge, even in Texas, understand the seriousness of that issue. I will say this, that the ladies at the Village Republican Club certainly understand it, and they understand exactly what is coming down the pike. So we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up on, a lot, by the way, Hillary Clinton being deposed today. There is a lawmaker under fire, a Republican congressman under fire for doing some pretty awful things that led to the suicide of a younger staff member. We're going to get into that story. Also, there are apparently more Epstein files that have yet to be released. And ladies and gentlemen, as I have said from day one and have not wavered from this position, release everything. Everything. Just release it. And if there are caveats, include the caveat. But just release the blasted files, all of them, and let's be done with this once and for all. If grown people, if men and women, I don't care if you're wealthy or not, I don't care if you're a celebrity or not, or if you're powerful or not, but if people committed crimes against these young girls, they should be held accountable. Every single one of them. They should be held accountable. All right. Well, let me give out the telephone number here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let me say this before we go to break. I truly believe that President Trump set the stage for what could be a big win for Republicans in the midterms. That being said, the fact that you've got the majority leader, John Thune, who was called out during the State of the Union address, Thune was called out, and President Trump said, we've got to get the SAVE Act passed. You've got to get it to my desk. And John Thune is still defying the President of the United States. Do you understand the significance of this moment, that the Republican leader of the Senate is openly defying Donald J. Trump? Now, I have a couple of theories about that, and I'll share that. I'm sure you may have some theories as well as to why Republicans will not move forward. Now, here's where I'm going to get myself in a little bit of trouble. And I really don't care, because I'm no longer a Republican. I should probably explain that. Maybe I'll do it after we come back from the break. I'm no longer a Republican. I've decided I'm going to be voting for the best man, the best woman for the job. And if they happen to be Republican, that's great. But I'll explain that part of the story in just a little while. But the issue here is that the Republicans in the U.S. Senate, have you noticed that many of them, they'll come onto this program, they'll come onto my Newsmax show, and they will say, oh, we believe that the SAVE Act should pass. We support the SAVE Act. And yet these same individuals, these same senators, will not condemn Leader Thune. Have you noticed that? Not a single member of the Senate is out there condemning John Thune. And why is that? Because John Thune is a very powerful man, ladies and gentlemen. You don't hear a lot about the majority leader, but he is a very powerful man, and clearly somebody got to him. Somebody got to Thune and said, this legislation is going to die in the Senate. And it just seems to me that a lot of Republicans are using John Thune as cover right now, and they're using that as their excuse. Oh, we support the legislation, but there's really not anything we can do about it. You know, they're not going to bring it to the floor for a vote. We're not going to nuke the filibuster. Oops, sorry. Wish we could help you out, but we've got you. I don't believe that. As a matter of fact, I don't believe any of the Republicans in the U.S. Senate actually want to nuke the filibuster. Otherwise, they would be screaming about it on cable news. They would be screaming about it on conservative talk radio. But they're not doing that. And the reason why is they've been bought and paid for, too. And I guarantee you, people with very deep pockets have told John Thune, you will do as we say or the money dries up. I think it's really that simple, folks. I truly do. All right, yeah, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. I find this interesting that the reaction coming from the media about the U.S. men's hockey team, and these poor guys are just getting just slaughtered by the national media. I mean, it's really disgusting. And if you still hold a subscription to USA Today or the New York Times or the San Francisco Chronicle, you need to cancel your subscription. Because you're supporting this sort of anti-American sentiment. And again, going back to the U.S. hockey team being honored at the State of the Union address, by the way, the fake news around the U.S. women's hockey team, they too were invited, but their team took a pass. Their team took a pass. So this is not on Donald Trump. President Trump wasn't showing favoritism. He had simply invited both teams and only one team agreed to come. So that's on the woke gals over at U.S. Ladies Hockey. So anyway, USA Today is writing a piece as well as the New York Times, and they're condemning the men's hockey team. This is the headline from the New York Times. The U.S. men's Olympic hockey team won gold and then lost the room. Well, how exactly did they do that? Well, the writer of this piece, a guy by the name of Jerry Brewer, who is a far leftist, and I don't know why these far leftists are now attracted to sports pages, but they are. And here's what Jerry Brewer had to say. This is not a neutral president. This is not a neutral climate. In a nation this polarized, the proximity carries weight, whether the players are being intentional or merely naive. America no longer experiences these rituals in the same way, and it may never again. Athletes would be wise to recognize this. Really, so it's not a problem when the athletes are invited by Joe Biden, only when Donald Trump invites the athletes to the White House. So the New York Times condemning the hockey team, as did USA Today. But ultimately, this goes back to something, and by the way, they're not being naive. These young men love their country. They love America. And over and over and over again, they have been wrapping themselves in the red, white, and blue. Meanwhile, the male figure skaters and that crowd, well, they hate America. And they use their platform to take cheap shots at our country. Nobody in the media complained about that. It's only when the kids who love America get up and say something that it becomes a problem. Look at what's happening in our public schools right now. Over the past 48 hours, there have been multiple reports of young people who are pro-ICE, pro-Trump, getting beaten up on their school campuses by these mobs of little thuglings. And for you folks in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, thuglings are what we call underage thugs. Thuglings. So this is happening all over the country where you've got these revolutionaries, and let's be clear, these are little communists, and they're going after your kids who love America. They're going after athletes who love America. Go all the way back to President Trump when he was first running for office, and he said the reason why they're attacking me is because they can't attack you. Well, now they're attacking all of us, and they feel emboldened. And one of the reasons they feel emboldened, one of the reasons why, is that they know there are no repercussions. That's the problem, right? When Charlie Kirk got assassinated and they started firing all of these teachers, got news for you, folks. Most of those teachers are already back in the classrooms, and they were given tens of thousands of dollars in damages. There are no penalties, which is why I have been sounding the alarm that if we are going to win in 2026 and beyond, we've got to shut down the Department of Education, dismantle, defund, send control back to the states, send control back to the local communities, and cut off this radical leftist union out there representing the teachers. And what was it? A couple of days ago, you had the education secretary, her name is Linda McMahon, and she gave a speech and said, teachers, you are not obligated to join a teachers union. You don't have to do that because all of that money is being used to fund this anti-American propaganda. So as great as President Trump's speech was, unless we tackle the issue that's happening in our public schools, we're going to lose the day. Because now they're coming after all of us. And that's the bottom line here with the men's hockey team. Their only punishment was they won the gold medal and they stood at attention when the national anthem was being played. By the way, did you catch, I don't know if you caught the celebration in Miami, Dylan. You know, they were at a big nightclub and the guys went out there, Miami Beach, you know, they got all the fancy nightclubs and they went to an adult establishment. It looked like it was very popular from what I could tell.
I have not seen this. What happened?
Well, they're in there and everybody's drinking their adult libations.
Yes.
And they have young ladies.
Right. Okay.
Scantily clad. Mm-hmm. Poles, if that's helpful.
Okay. I'm picking up where they were.
All right. It wasn't church. May have been close, but it wasn't church. And I noticed that as soon as they started, then all of a sudden they start playing the national anthem. In the nightclub, oh. And somebody panned the video around, and the dancing girls were standing at attention by their poles, hands over their their hearts.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. God bless America. God bless the dancing girls. That's why I'm telling you, America is back, and the Democrats, they hate it. They absolutely hate it. All right, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Pixar's new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh D'Souza brings the new Middle East into focus with a message of perseverance, faith, and a shared global destiny.
Could the fate of the world, of humanity itself, be somehow tied to this place?
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
Israel and Christians are coming together in a way they have never been before, since the Book of Acts.
But is this the end of Hamas and radical Islam? What does the Bible say?
We have to become fighters in the spirit for God. We don't accept what the enemy wants to do with our culture. We don't accept what he wants to do with the nation. If we keep fighting, we win.
Powerful, prophetic, a must-see movie based on Jonathan Cahn's international bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy, combines history and scripture with faith, justice, and renewal. The Dragon's Prophecy, a new film by Dinesh D'Souza, now available on Amazon, YouTube, and iTunes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Interesting story out of Tennessee, which has a supermajority of Republicans, theoretically. And there are these two Republican lawmakers, Jody Barrett from Dixon, Tennessee, and Mark Pody from Lebanon, Tennessee. This is from the reporting of TheHill.com. Two Republican lawmakers are floating an amendment to an abortion bill that would bring homicide charges against expecting mothers who choose to terminate their pregnancies. This was House Bill 570 and Senate Bill 738. According to Nashville's local TV affiliate, WSMV, they got a hold of the text. And here's what the Republican lawmakers in Tennessee want to do. The amendment reads like this: all preborn children should be protected with the same criminal and civil laws protecting the lives of born persons by repealing provisions that permit prenatal homicide and assault, which is what they're calling abortion. So according to The Hill, by treating abortions like homicides under the law, mothers would be exposed to charges that carry sentences of up to death or life in prison. Tennessee already has one of the country's most strict abortion bans. Performing the procedure is a Class C felony in Tennessee, resulting in up to 15 years in prison and fines for doctors. The amendment does not make exceptions for rape or incest, but does exclude life-saving procedures and miscarriages from prosecution. That's according to the Tennessean newspaper. The Hill reached out to Barrett and Pody for comment. Pody telling the TV station the amendment does not currently have significant support in the Senate, adding he planned to sound out colleagues in the coming days. Senator Pody says, "We want to be very open and have a conversation, whether it's controversial or not. Let's hear from all sides to see where we are as Tennessee and where we stand. Talking to some colleagues, we don't have the votes to move something like that in the Senate at this moment." So the issue here is whether or not, let's just say, a woman decides for whatever reason to go and abort her baby. And if she does that, if this is introduced and becomes a law, then she would be committing a crime that could lead to her execution or life in prison, which is the penalty for killing somebody in the state of Tennessee. And it is creating a firestorm of controversy across the state. And in some cases, you have some in the pro-life community that stand opposed to this because they believe that the mothers are, in fact, these moms that are going to abort their babies are, in fact, victims themselves. There are others, though, who say, wait a second, if you're saying that this unborn child is a child and you abort that child, you kill that child, then by golly, that's murder and somebody's got to pay for that crime. So it is quite the debate that's being had across the state of Tennessee right now. And I just find it interesting because some within the pro-life community actually oppose the significance of this legislation. And they say, no, we should not be treating these women as criminals. So curious how you feel about that. It's a fascinating conversation. We will see if this legislation moves forward, but I think it's interesting because, and the reason I say it's interesting, it's a supermajority of Republicans that control the Senate and the House. So if they wanted the legislation to go through, they could go through. They got the votes. They have more than enough votes. But even some Republicans believe that this would be a bridge too far and that there's no way that moms who decide they want to kill their babies. And look, I mean, that's what it is, right? If you're committing an abortion, if you're having an abortion, you're killing your unborn child. And I know there are some in the pro-life community that say we shouldn't use that sort of language because it's insensitive. Yeah, but, you know, it's like, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, murder. I'm just saying. So anyway, we'll let you know how all that turns out, but it looks like that legislation's really not going anywhere, certainly stirring up a lot of controversy right now on whether or not the women who abort their babies, because again, if you're going to punish if you're going to punish the doctor, why would you not also punish the person who is aborting the baby? That would be the argument there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. This crazy story out of Milan, France, and it involves Vogue magazine. You know, that's one of the girly magazines. That's the girly magazines, right? The fashion magazine? No, the girly mags. Sorry, that's...
I think there's a difference there.
There's a slight difference. One has clothing, the other doesn't. This girly magazine has clothing. Vogue magazine. Anyway, a former editor of Vogue was heading over to Milan. You know, they do Fashion Week. And they used to do that, or they still do it, I guess, in New York City. And it was always funny because I would walk home through the fashion district, and they would wear some of the craziest stuff. One guy had a pompadour that was about 2 feet high. I don't know how he got that hair that big, but, you know, everybody was, it's a big deal. So anyway, Gabriella Johnson is the former editor for Vogue, and she was heading over to Milan for Fashion Week. So she booked, as I suppose the editor of Vogue would do, or the former editor of Vogue would do, she booked a first-class ticket, and I fly first class, that's pretty much all the time. Not that big of a deal. But you pay for an experience, and you also pay for a little bit of extra space and a little bit of peace and quiet. Well, Miss Johnson was enraged because it turns out she was the only black person in the first class cabin. And it was a smaller first class cabin, so there weren't that many seats, and she was surrounded. There were six seats. Five of them were occupied by middle-aged white guys. And I'm not sure this was an international. This must have been a connecting flight because those international flights, those have very large first-class seating areas, and especially the ones overseas because you get your own little cubicle. And you can lay down. You've got a bed there. You've got your TV. It's really nice. And anyway, Dylan, when I took your grandparents over to Israel, we flew Virgin Atlantic, and everybody had their own little cubicles. They had a little bar that you could, chairs, the whole nine yards. That was the Austin Powers trip.
Yes.
Where they played the theme song to Shaft as they...
The 30-minute theme song.
Yeah, 30-minute theme song. We don't have time today. So anyway, it's really a nice thing. I've never really even noticed skin color before, right? I didn't think that was a big deal. So Miss Johnson is writing on her social media platform, and she said that she was surrounded by these five middle-aged white guys. She was the lone black woman, and she surmised that because she is black, that she would be the one subjected to bad service, substandard service, because the flight attendant was also a white dude. And so she's wailing about this, and so she immediately started suffering these microaggressions as soon as she sat down in first class. And she was so enraged that she jumped up and demanded the airline immediately downgrade her to a business class ticket. How dare you? How dare you serve me champagne, sir? I want a cup of water. I mean, it's insane. So she said that she goes on to say she would gladly sacrifice physical comfort to protect her emotional and mental well-being. She's slap crazy nuts, and she's telling us. Anyway, I was trying to figure out what airline, and so I went on her social media. I'm like, what airline was it? She won't say what airline it was. She also did not disclose the nature of the microaggression that actually set her off. And I'm going to take a stab at this. I think they forgot to give her one of the hot hand towels. They're very refreshing, by the way, right? And they're lemon-scented. Put them to your face. It's kind of like getting a facial, right? Ah. And then you can wash your hands with it, and they come back with tongs, and they pluck it right out of your seat. They probably forgot. I'm wondering, though, Dylan, do you think she had an even larger microaggression when they ended up giving her empty first-class seat to another middle-aged white guy?
She made herself enraged at that point. She did it to herself.
Where's my chicken parm meal that's gluten-free that I ordered? Ma'am, you're in business class. You can have pretzels or peanuts.
A small can of Coke.
Tiny can. Yeah, and you can't even ask for the whole can, right? They just pour you a little droplet of it.
Don't you dare ask for the whole can.
Oh, I was flying first class from United yesterday, and I was actually seated next to a black lady. We had a great conversation. We were trying to figure out where the plugins were for the devices, and we were both using our like cameras. It was like tag team. We never could figure it out. And we had the big widescreen TVs. These are first class problems.
Seriously.
But we got it. So hold on. This is funny. So the flight attendant came through, and she had like little champagne flutes, and that's what they put the water in. She goes, would you like, they call it tap water. What do they call it? They called it something else, but it was tap water or sparkling. And I said, I'd like to have the sparkling. I like club soda. And I was parched. I was very thirsty. So I chug it, and it's champagne.
And it
was like you couldn't. I was like in mid-gulp when you realized it.
Yeah, you can't stop mid-gulp. You got to go for it.
Yeah, got to go for it.
Hey, that can refresh you, though, if you really think about it.
So I had to sober out by getting ginger ale later in the flight.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Those are also first-class problems. We have bottled water.
Is that what they serve back in the back?
Yeah.
I've often wondered.
Bottled water.
Wow.
No champagne.
Mm.
But there might be champagne. You have to request it.
You may have to pay for it, too.
Definitely.
Yeah, the credit cards. It all comes complimentary up in the front. Do they give you real glassware?
Right. No, it's plastic.
Really?
You have to throw it away at the end.
That's prehistoric. I'm just shocked.
Okay.
My goodness. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. That reminds me, we're not going to get into the story again, but I actually was, this was me in reverse when I was heading to Atlanta, and I was the only white guy in first class with the entire cast of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. With, what's her name? Nene, whipping Nene. No, that's the dance. Nene, Nene. I don't remember. Anyway, I had to sign a form. I guess I'm in one of the episodes. It was interesting. I'll just leave it at that. You know, it's true, ladies and gentlemen, millions of Americans agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax. A huge, huge audience watching the State of the Union address, by the way, on Newsmax. We have great shows, Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt. If you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It's free to start. All you have to do is go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. Get all of President Trump's most important events live. Imagine watching Mike Huckabee's Israel special or this incredible docu-film on Melania Trump, Clint Eastwood, Charlie Kirk specials, or even the movie of Jesus coming up for Easter. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. It is easy. Just make the switch to Newsmax Plus today.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, look, have you been following the? There's a great restaurant in Baltimore, WCBM. We talked about this on Monday. Jimmy's Famous Seafood, and we're going to be getting the owner on the show to talk about what all's transpired since they politely invited those who oppose America to go blank themselves. And so now Jimmy's Famous Seafood are going viral, and the Baltimore Sun is coming out and is now attacking the restaurant. I mean, these folks have been around for ages, and it's just really, really shameful how they're being treated. God bless Jimmy's for at least being pro-America. The Huffington Post is sending out a tweet, and this was the caption: if waving the American flag or chanting USA turns you off right now, you're not alone. And, of course, Jimmy's Famous Seafood responded by saying, go blank yourself. I still get a chuckle out of that. The exchange went viral. Are you ready for this? Over 17 million views in 48 hours. 17 million. And so now people are attacking the restaurant. By the way, some Maryland lawmakers are weighing in. This is from Kathy Zaliga. If my apologies if I butchered your last name there, Kathy. Restaurants and businesses are no longer afraid of the woke mob. Although Jimmy's Seafood has never been afraid, shop and dine where they share your values. And, you know, that's an interesting thing. That we don't talk a lot about on this program, but it really is important to shop and dine at places that share your values. Why would you allow your money to be used to advance some sort of a left-wing cause? Why would you do that? Of course, Jimmy's being bashed by the Baltimore Sun, and there, of course, that's a far-left newspaper, news rag. They hate everybody. One headline: foul language is never helpful. Well, no, but it's meant to make a point. And I think the point is very clear. So God bless you, Jimmy's Famous Seafood, for really saying what I think everybody in the country, even a lot of you Baptists, were thinking when it came to the Huffington Post and all these other folks that are out there attacking our boys on that hockey team. It's just really shameful. But so anyway, we love to hear from our Baltimore listeners on WCBM. But I think a lot of people are ordering crab cakes. Oh, what was it? Oh, yeah. Jimmy said if you're on the hockey team, the U.S. men's hockey team, you're getting free crab cakes for life. You better believe. And I hear they're very good crab cakes. But apparently they ship. So I hope all you folks, if you're next time you're having seafood, you might want to order from Jimmy's and have them delivered. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we have Republican strategist Luke Symbol stopping by. Also, we're going to be touching base with our buddies over at Strategic Financial Partners. Many of you have questions about finances, maybe the Trump accounts, whatever. Our guys are going to be here to answer your questions coming up in just a little while. Also, before we go to break, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go ahead and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's coming out very soon. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. This is a pretty lengthy book, and I can't wait for you to read this one. It's going to be it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of humor, and there's also a call to arms for the midterm elections, and that alone is going to be worth the price of the book. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can get a copy right now, pre-order at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. the golden age, how Trump saved America. God bless you, Mr. President.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
You know what I find really interesting when you look at the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, and I had had these conversations with our crew about a week or two after the assassination of Charlie. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Starnes. Great to be back with you. But I told the crew, I said, because people at the time were talking, oh my God, you know, Turning Point USA is going to explode. It's going to be all over the place. And we're going to have, I mean, it's the launch of a movement. And I said, I don't know about that. And I told the crew, I said, I'm not going to say this on air, but I don't think this is going to be a long-lived entity. And the reason why, and it's nothing nefarious at all, but the reason why is because Turning Point USA was really built on and around Charlie Kirk. I mean, Charlie Kirk was Turning Point USA, so much so that one of the big challenges, and this was a challenge when Charlie was alive, is that there was so little infrastructure. So a lot of the times when you would have a Turning Point USA chapter start up on a university campus, by the end of the semester, it'd be gone. There was no infrastructure at all. There was really nothing funneling people or, you know, information or resources to these university clubs. And that became a big problem. And, yeah, we certainly saw a massive growth of chapters after the assassination. But the reality is, I'm not sure that that's going to last. And it was interesting, as I heard President Trump talking about Charlie during the State of the Union address, it really moved me because I thought for a second, wow, it's that happened in September. It's not that you forget about it, but the country's moving on. And Turning Point, at least up until now, has not met the moment. And I think that's shocked a lot of people. I am not surprised by that. And I'm not, you know, I wish them nothing but the very best. And I hope they can rally back. And I hope they can find that leadership they so desperately need. Because right now they are wandering in a wilderness. And it is not a good thing. They are platforming people that they should not be platforming. You know, we were talking a couple of days ago when I was at NRB with some folks about the rise of anti-Semitism and outright Jew hatred within the conservative movement. And those people have no business being platformed by Turning Point USA or any other conservative group for that matter. And it's incredibly troubling what's happening. But I say all of that because there's a fierce war that's going on right now. And you've got Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson going at it against Ben Shapiro. And I don't know, Mark Levin would be another one. I've sort of stayed out of the fight. I've observed it. I've weighed in here and there. But it is not my job to police the so-called social media influencers. That's not what I do here. I can tell you one thing I can tell you about Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson and all of that crowd. I can tell you one thing. Their opinions change all the time, but my opinion has never wavered. Look at Mark Levin. What Mark Levin has believed and has spoken on his radio program for a decade, well over a decade, it has never wavered. What Ben Shapiro has said on his short-lived radio program, it never wavered, his message. So you do wonder if you're one of these so-called conservative media influencers and you're out there, and is it possible that your opinions are actually based more so on how much money you're getting as opposed to what you just truly believe, your personal belief system, your value system? I know that's a question that all of those folks have to answer for themselves. But I say all of that to mention that, you know, not having a youth organization that is, and not having a leader of a youth organization that is out there pounding the message home to young people, that's a dangerous thing. Because right now what we're looking at with, and there are more schools today that are letting the kids out, they're using school resources, your tax dollars, to protest ICE and God knows what else. That sort of voice is still on the school campus. The question is, how long will the conservative voice be on those campuses? And by the way, what sort of resources are these kids getting that are starting these, I think they're calling them Club America at the high school level now, and Turning Point USA chapters on these college campuses? I want to play some audio. This just happened in Florida in the State House. It's shocking. You're going to hear the voice of Florida State Representative Ashley Gant, and she is enraged because the state of Florida wants to honor Charlie Kirk, and she is opposed to that. Take a listen.
We want to talk about exercising free speech. Let's ball. So the First Amendment protects free speech. We don't need this day of remembrance for a man that was mediocre and racist, and I say mediocre at best. He was not a Floridian. He had no ties to Florida other than owning property. We have a number of Floridians, both individuals and organizations, that promote free speech that is not divisive like this individual was. If we want to talk about free speech, let's talk about being precise with our words. When we hear assassination, that's typically related to a person and a political position. Charlie Kirk died from gun violence, okay? We continuously advocate for gun policy legislation that would ensure that people that probably shouldn't have a gun don't have a gun. So, was his passing tragic for those who love him? Absolutely. There is no denying that. But he was not assassinated, and words being accurate matters. It was a death by gun violence. That is an issue here in the country that we should all be on the same page with addressing. And if we want to talk about free speech, you know, a lot of people say that was some white-on-white crime. Why aren't we addressing it in that regard? What are we doing about white-on-white crime? So Charlie Kirk was not someone that children in the state of Florida should be subjected to honoring.
All right, there you go, folks. That is an elected representative in the state of Florida. And again, this is nothing new. We've certainly reported on a lot of this rhetoric, but the fact that these people, they've got no shame. They're more than happy to go out there and ridicule. Imagine if somebody would have brought up, for example, Martin Luther King Jr. Imagine for just a moment somebody bringing up MLK Jr. and his extramarital affairs, which is all very well documented. What would happen if you were to do that on MLK Day, or his ties to communism? What do you think would happen out there? How do you think that person would be handled? They would be run out of town. That's exactly what would have happened. They would have been run out of town. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Memphis, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on TPUSA. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, greetings, Todd. Yeah, I would say that it's not a leadership issue. It's a message issue. And the fact is these children are very astute. They're very able to read a Bible, and they're not Christian Zionists. They're Christian. They're not all for Israel. And that's the problem, is that you're pushing a pro-Israel agenda. They're all about Christ.
Yeah, it's, you know, so look, you know, when you talk about the messaging here, what sort of message do you think TPUSA ought to have?
I think Charlie Kirk nailed it in the last few months that he was on. He was talking about the stand for the truth. And when he pointed out the genocide in Gaza and the government of the United States being controlled by the government of Israel.
Where's your proof of that, Mike? Hold on. And by the way, what about the genocide that happened against the Israeli people in October? What about that?
Yeah, we discussed that. That was a false flag allowed. They stood down for hours. They
so those bodies. Hold on, hold on. So the bodies were not real. The babies that were shoved into the ovens and baked. That was all fake. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know about babies put in ovens, but I know that Israel routinely kills their own people.
No, they. How do you know that? How do you know that, Mike? Where's your facts at, Mike?
Well, if you'll unblock me, I'll send you emails from Netanyahu talking about that. And the Samson option.
Mike, I just find it interesting that of all the people in the world, only you, Mike, in Memphis, Tennessee, have this exclusive material that that would expose the very top echelons of Israeli government of mass murdering their own people. I am shocked, Mike, that you're the only person, Mike from Memphis, Tennessee, you have information that nobody else in the world has.
It's readily available. If you unblock me, I'll send it to you.
Oh, I'm not unblocking you because a lot of the stuff you spew is flat out not true, and they're lies, Mike. So, again, I invited you to come on and talk about TPUSA not having a message, and you use that to bring up some sort of a genocide in Gaza.
That's the point that you...
No, it's not the point, Mike. You've got no point. And I'll tell you what, Mike, if you want to come back and talk about the issue at hand... You're more than welcome to do that, but I'm not going to give you a platform to spew lies about the nation of Israel. Not going to happen. Mike, good luck to you. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. No. We like Mike from Memphis, but you got to stay on topic, ladies and gentlemen, and you got to come armed with facts. Let's go to the phones here. Atlanta B is listening to us. Hi, B, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? I just was listening to your station about TPUSA, and yes, it exploded, man, right after that horrible incident, man. And it has seemed to kind of dwindle down. I've noticed the same kind of pattern you have, and it was very exciting there right there at the beginning, wouldn't you say?
Well, I certainly think so, and I think a lot of people were wanting to do something. They were wanting to continue the mission, and I think it's still strong. But again, when you look at the longevity, right now the leadership is just not there.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I was listening to the last gentleman, I believe his name was Mike, right, from Memphis. And I understand you guys have had conversations before, but I do want to ask you this. All right, it does have to do with Israel. How much, and this is just a, I don't have any, it's just an open question. How much of this dwindling down of TPUSA do you think has anything to do with the state of Israel? Do you think it has anything to do with the kind of differences in, you know, in maybe the young, some of the younger crowd, I guess, maybe, that just kind of isn't, I don't know, maybe they're just so much looking out for their own interests here in the state that when, I don't know, I don't know too much about the pro-Israel message that I guess that TPUSA pushes. I don't know if there is one, but I don't know, maybe do you think that Israel has any type of influence on what could be happening with TPUSA?
No, I don't believe at all, to be perfectly blunt about it. And again, when you look at support for the nation of Israel, this is nothing new. This nation, and especially conservatives, have supported the nation of Israel for generations. So my concern is this, and I think this is what we need to look at. When you have these social media influencers, like, for example, a Tucker Carlson, who's, I'm just asking questions. When you have somebody like a Tucker Carlson who has changed his position on an issue, Mike, I think it deserves an answer. Why did you change your position? Are you being funded by organizations that might oppose Israel? Or for, and you know what, B, just for the sake of the argument, I'll flip it. Let's just say that you've been anti-Israel for, you know, for years and years, and all of a sudden you become pro-Israel. I would be curious to know, okay, well, why did you change your opinion? Is somebody paying you to change your opinion? And I think those are legitimate questions that we ought to be asking.
No, yeah, I think definitely. You know, it's kind of clear these days to see that our government, at least individuals in our government, you know, on both sides, are kind of, you know, they're kind of bought, you know, the lobbying and all that stuff. I think people have seen enough of that to kind of understand that there's money pushed behind these congressional seats.
No doubt about it.
I mean, it's pretty obvious.
No doubt about that, right?
Yeah. But, and it's just something that has not been in the open. So I truly just think, and let me ask you this before I say what I think. Do you think that, like let's say Mike, for example, let's say somebody like Mike, right? But he has a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more interest in it. But let's just say another younger person or whatever.
All right, let's get to the question here. Let's get to the question.
I know, yeah. Do you think that you wouldn't think that, like, they would, like, hate Israel asking any?
Look, I think a lot of this is being blown out of proportion. You know, Israel is a strategic partner in the Middle East. Israel is also a longtime ally of the United States, and we have written treaties in place. So for me, I'm looking at this. Now, I am also a Christian person, and I believe as a Christian man that we have a responsibility as Christians to stand alongside Israel. I do believe that the Jews are the chosen people, as the Bible tells us. But that is not influencing my political support of Israel, which is entirely on a strategic need to have an ally in that part, that region of the world. I got no problem with that at all. B, I got to run. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach. Gary, what's on your mind?
Too much heavy lifting there to unpack and some of that. Thanks for taking my call. Involving Ms. Gant, representative from my place I call home, Florida, the first word out of her mouth to me would be that I was a racist if I told her that Martin Luther wasn't assassinated, it was gun violence. It was just gun violence, ma'am. And if I said something like that to her, I would be a racist in her eyes. So it's pretty rich of her to go to the white-on-white and gun violence over assassination of Charlie Kirk.
You know, it's funny that you mention that, Gary, because there's been a lot of people accusing President Trump of being racist without any proof whatsoever. And you do have to wonder, you know, at what point does that just lose all? Because that used to be a big thing. You never wanted to be called a racist. And now every time a white person breathes, you're accused of being a racist.
And you're right on TP, on Turning Point. They still are doing a lot of registrations of young people, but I don't see as much of, like you mentioned it, sticking around in a lot of, but they're getting a lot of registrations from young people, but it's going to, like you said, it's going to take more than that.
A lot more than that. And they've got to have that infrastructure, and they don't have it. They didn't have it when Charlie was alive. And so it's going to be a challenge. Gary, got to run. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go to the phones real quick here. Josh in North Carolina, listening to us on WSJS in Winston-Salem. Hi, Josh. What's on your mind today?
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you for getting rid of that fruitcake, Mike. I've heard him before, and he's just in outer space.
Yeah, you know, we try to rein him into our orbit. It's just not working, Josh. We try, though.
Yeah, it's really not. But I was calling, I've called in several times about my son who serves in the Marine Corps. He's just now entering his eighth year, and he's been overseas for a year. And the reason he serves is he believes in a true Christian nation, that our forefathers, their beliefs and the beliefs of the people intended for us to be after 250 years, not what, you know, trying to be portrayed as the way the country should be. It's just absurd. But I actually got to talk to him the other day. He sent me pictures. Him and his helicopter crew were sitting on a white sandy beach getting some well-needed R&R and rest. And me and his mother are extremely proud of him. He's being promoted to gunnery sergeant, which will make him the youngest gunnery sergeant in North Carolina.
Is that right?
And yeah. And we found out, obviously, I can't say when on the radio, but we found out he will be home soon.
Man, God bless you. I know that Mama has to be very happy about that news.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of him and all of his accomplishments.
Well, that is terrific news. And you please thank him for serving our great nation. And, of course, we love our fighting men and women here on this program.
I will. Thank you, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. Good man. Good family right there. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Ray is on the line. Hi, Ray. What's on your mind?
Hello there, Todd. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question. I mean, I kind of know the answer, but, you know, why do people, or a lot of people, why do they hate the Jewish people so much? They've done nothing wrong. And Israel was just recognized, you know, not too long ago, but they've had their own country since the beginning of time.
Well, yes, and as Governor Huckabee got into a little bit of hot water when he said, according to the Bible, they should have a lot more land than what they already have, and that set off a bunch of folks. You know, it's interesting, this Jew hatred, Ray, it's sort of cyclical, and it rears its ugly head every generation or so, and then goes away, and I think that we are in the throes of that right now. What's making this even more disgusting is that you've got a lot of these so-called conservative influencers that are being well-funded by some of these Muslim countries. And so this is not something that's organic. I believe this is something that is very well orchestrated and very well planned.
It's a shame because, and like I said, they've done nothing wrong. And there are brothers and sisters, you know, we have the same Bible. Ours just continues.
Amen. Amen, my friend. Amen. Ray, I got to run, but thank you for that call. Just a few moments ago, J.D. Vance, the vice president, he was speaking at an event in Wisconsin. Let's take a listen.
And to my right is some Republicans, but mostly the Democrats. And so I see the reaction of all the congressional Democrats, and it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. So you say, like, for example, you had this beautiful little girl, she had such a sweet moment with her dad, you may have remembered. She was probably 6 years old. She had been assaulted by an illegal immigrant. She had had a very bad, I think, medical prognosis, but it turned out that she was okay. This six-year-old girl, hurt by a human being who never should have been in this country in the first place, who was led into this country by Joe Biden and the Democrats, and she's hugging her dad, and she's so excited, and you can tell, and I think everybody's heart feels very, you know, you get that warm and fuzzy feeling, and then I look over at the congressional Democrats, and they're just scowling. They cannot clap their hands for a six-year-old who survived an attack from an illegal alien. What is that? What kind of a person can't stand up and cheer for an innocent young girl who's doing well, who's showing the entire country strength and resilience? And then the president had this line. I'm not going to get it exactly right. But he said, if you believe, stand up and cheer, if you believe that the American government's first priority should be to look after American citizens instead of illegal aliens. And all the Republicans, including Derek and everybody else, stands up and starts cheering. And then you look over the Democrats. Complete silence. No reaction at all. The one thing that got at least some of the Democrats to stand up and cheer was the Olympic hockey team, which we're, of course, very proud of. But you got to ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, what is it about a political party that cannot stand up and cheer for a six-year-old girl who survived an attack? What is it about a political party that can't stand up and cheer for the fact that we have rising wages and low inflation for the first time in a very long time in the United States of America?
All right, that is the vice president speaking in Wisconsin. I want to bring into the conversation Republican strategist Luke Symbol. Luke, you heard the vice president just a few minutes ago, and I think that this State of the Union address is really going to go down in history, and I think it could have an impact in the midterm elections. What say you?
I completely agree. Donald, President Trump, revealed to the country just how despicable elected Democrats are, the vast majority of which refused to stand to support American citizens over illegal aliens. They refused to support the cleaning up of our healthcare mess. They refused to support cracking down on crime and the economic policies that have turned this country around in a year. They are radicals. And the governor of Virginia to be giving the Democrat address after the State of the Union should tell the entire country, when these Democrats run and they try to sound moderate, they are lying to you. They are radicals. They are out of touch with the American people. And Donald Trump revealed that not only to the country, but to the world. And I agree with you, Todd. I think, honestly, it was the best State of the Union speech I have ever seen.
Here's what I don't get is the Democrat response. First of all, they said they had a rally out on the Mall, and they had another event which was inside. The rally on the Mall, I think there were actually more reporters there than actual spectators, and that was a complete debacle. But this the other one that featured all of these furries and people,
yes,
dressed up and dancing. I mean, if I'm Democrat leadership, and I've been hearing that Democrat leadership is horrified by the images and the optics of what just went down over the past 48 hours.
Sure, they're horrified by the optics, but that is their base. That is the elected Democrats all support that, apparently. The vast majority of them do anyway. And when you're looking at races across the country, when you see that Jasmine Crockett is leading in the Democrat polls in Texas to be the next Democrat nominee for Senate from Texas, that just tells you everything you need to know about the modern Democrat Party. They're anti-American. They don't support positive economic policies. They don't support cracking down on crime. And they put illegal aliens over the interests of American citizens. And we've been talking about that, but now it is on full display for everybody to see.
As a matter of fact, I think the first ads have already started popping up of the president's question and then, you know, their reaction to it. I thought it was interesting. Kat Kamick actually sat with the Democrats, and she stood up, which is a great visual because she's right in the thick of all these Democrats, and they're all sitting down.
She's wearing her bright pink or red, mm-hmm, in the middle of the Democrats so you could see her. You know what's interesting, Todd, is I've known her for many years when I was on in leadership with the young Republicans for Tennessee, and we would go to these national conferences. She was hugely supportive of young Republicans. She was a young Republican herself, or still is. And I had so many friends texting me, hey, who's this? Who's this? What she did has risen her national profile, and so many Trump supporters who did not know who she is appreciate her willingness to go into the lion's den and sit in a sea of Democrats and be the only one to stand up and support these common sense policies. The optics there were excellent, and I congratulate her for doing so.
It was a brilliant, I mean, just that whole night, and I just, I'm hoping it was all organic. But I don't think it was.
No.
And it may have been, but just think for a moment here. This could be a glorious thing if all of this was actually planned out. That was a brilliant plan.
One of my favorite parts of the night, watching it, I was watching it on YouTube and flipping amongst the various camera angles, and the Democrats started looking around at each other nervously, and they would lean over. Should we stand up? Should we clap? They didn't know what to do. They were so embarrassed. And to have these immigrants who are now congresspeople shouting at the president, Ilhan Omar, Tlaib. I mean, they were so disrespectful to President Trump. If a Republican had done that, they would have been thrown out of the chamber.
No doubt about it. And then, my favorite part, though, was you had Al Green, the Democrat from Texas, holding the sign that says blacks aren't apes. But there was something covering it up. So it said, his sign actually read, I mean, if you're watching it, blacks rent apes. And we're like, wait, what?
If you have to put it on a sign, I mean, it just is so it makes horrible.
No sense to me.
Oh, my God. And we have to make fun of them. That is a super important part of delegitimizing the other side, is when they deserve to be ridiculed, and we need to ridicule them. We all need to say they are not serious. They don't care about America, because they don't. They refuse to stand for American citizens over illegal aliens. The modern Democrat Party is un-American, and we need to say it loudly and proudly, and we need to mock them.
All right, Luke Symbol, can you hang out with us for a little while?
I would love to, Todd.
All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, your reaction to the State of the Union address. Do you think it's going to move the needle when it comes to the midterms? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Jim in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Jim, you're on the air with Luke Symbol.
Afternoon, guys. How are y'all doing?
It's great.
Going. Doing well.
Hey, Luke, I listen to you a lot, and of course, Todd, but just interested in what your plans are going forward.
Sure, Jim. I am focusing on campaigns, and you're going to see me on the television and on the Todd Starnes Show and some other shows and podcasts, and I'm really focused on helping campaigns get out the messaging and carry our successful Republican message kind of into the lion's den and into these Democrat areas. You know, I live in Memphis, as you know, and we are in a blue city and a blue county, but the narrative is starting to change. We have the Memphis Safe Task Force here from President Trump. We're cleaning up crime. We have a school system that's in shambles because of terrible Democrat leadership, and people's eyes are being opened. And so what I'm telling our Republican candidates is focus, and this is true for across the country, folks, focus on the local issues that people in your community really care about, and carry that message everywhere, and be willing to call out those in charge. Honestly, no matter if they're a Republican or a Democrat, but call out those people in charge if they're not doing what the people want, and focus on the local issues. And we're seeing that across the country. It's carrying the message on crime. Donald Trump, President Trump, talked about that in the State of the Union address. Crime, violent crime across the country is way, way, way down. And so that's what I'll be doing. Right. I'll be carrying the message.
Okay. Jim, does that answer your question?
It does. It does. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Jim. Thanks for calling in. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Mark in Raleigh, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, Luke.
Hey.
Hey, I think last night the most important thing that Trump did was to call Foon out on the Save America Act. I think that is the most important thing to do next, besides guarding our military and taking care of our military people. That is the way to save our country.
Yeah, Luke, what do you think? I'm with Mark here. I think Trump did a great job, and I think he should have made him stand up. I wanted to see the president lecturing him with a Thune right to his face.
I totally agree. We have got to get this passed as quickly as possible, because you know the leftist judges are going to declare it unconstitutional. We've got to get it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we have to safeguard our elections. It's a fantastic bill. It passes constitutional muster, and we just have to get it done.
That was the only only thing that is important, because the only way they win is cheating. The only way they win is through corruption. It's being exposed. I always wonder, where are all these crazy people that are voting for the Democrats? I don't think they exist.
It's a small portion of the population that exists, and the Democrats know they need mass migration to keep their votes up, and they need those mail-in ballots. And Donald Trump said that specifically, no more mail-in ballots.
Well, Mark, we sure do appreciate you calling in. Thank you for listening to KWAM, by the way, and we appreciate all of our great listeners across the country. You know, final thoughts, Luke, we're moving into the midterms, and my concern is what you just referenced, for example, in Texas. You've got Jasmine Crockett. in the Memphis area, you're going to have a radical, a far leftist named Justin Pearson challenging Steve Cohen, who is a radical leftist in his own right. Cohen looks like a Mitt Romney Republican compared to this guy.
It's really amazing. I never thought I would find myself rooting for Steve Cohen in the Democrat primary, but Justin Pearson is basically like Jasmine Crockett's twin brother. I mean, they are so similar. They change their accents depending on to whom they're speaking. They change their look depending on to whom they're speaking. They're total phonies. They're total frauds. And their policies are destructive to America. They live to bring divisiveness to America by focusing on the things that make us different and the things that divide us rather than the things that bring us together. And it's actually, I think it's pure evil. But, you know, that is the modern Democrat Party.
No. Well, it's a fair point. And again, when you look at, I mean, these people, they couldn't even stand for the Team USA, the U.S. men's hockey team, for crying out loud.
Perhaps the most what should have been the most unifying moment of the night, and they can't support anything that honestly makes America look good, in my opinion.
Do you think, though, that this is going, you know, the behavior of the Democrats, do you think it's going to change hearts and minds? Do you think people are going to be able to wake up and see these are very, very dangerous un-American people we're talking about?
I hope so, and I hope that the State of the Union is the turning point. We have been getting a lot, and you know, the mainstream media is all in on helping the Democrats, and we saw that with these ICE protests. We saw how they were framing the narrative, but I think that the State of the Union was a reset, and I do think independents, you cannot, if you say that you're independent and you care about this country, you cannot support the Democrat Party. And honestly, no matter how moderate a Democrat tries to sound, like the governor of Virginia, they are radical. And the minute they get in office, they support the most radical leftist policies, and they're lying. They're just pure lying.
Wow. All right. Good stuff, Luke. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me,
Todd. All right. Keep stirring it up. All right. Luke Symbol, everybody, here every Thursday in the Blue Room. By the way, coming up, we're going to be talking to our buddies with Strategic Financial Services, taking your money questions. And we're going to be getting to your calls as well. Folks, on hold, don't go anywhere. We're going to get back to you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us. We've got a very special guest coming up in just a few moments from the State Department. But first, we've had some folks, they've been holding on for a while and wanted to get to their calls. 901-260-5926 is our number, by the way. That's 901-260-5926. May I please just give a massive shout-out to our great affiliate in Houston, Texas, Patriot Talk 920, locally owned, locally run, conservative talk radio station. They were such incredible hosts yesterday. They brought me to town to speak to the Village Republican women, and I'm just, Dylan, I get in trouble every time I say this, but I don't care. I just think Republican women are the most beautiful women in America.
I don't think it's that controversial to say.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
They're just awesome, but they have beautiful minds as well, so it's not... It's the full package here we're talking about when it comes to conservative ladies. And the Village Republican ladies, just fine, fine patriots. And you guys are in good hands. You guys are in good hands. Republicans in Houston, you're in good hands with the Village Republican Club. All right. So anyway, a great thank you again. And we would love to hear from all of you, wherever you might be across the nation. 901-260-5926. Let's go to our good buddy, Joe from Ella J, Georgia, the apple capital of the state. Hi, Joe. What's going on?
Todd, I think that was the best speech by President Trump that I've ever heard, and I thought he really called the Democrats out, and I think that we'll have a huge midterm landslide wins. Everybody I'm talking to, and a lot of people are listening to your great show, everybody I'm talking to thinks it's one of the best speeches ever. I thought it was the best speech I've ever heard, and I think this will lead us, in my opinion, to midterm landslide wins for the Republican Party. At least I certainly hope so.
Yeah, Joe, I'm with you on that one, and I was cheering and cheering and cheering and just laughing. The laugh lines, the self-deprecating humor, the whole thing, it was just so well done. And then on to, and look, the Democrats know this. They know that they screwed up. I mean, the rank and file don't. But I think the average Democrat does. And I'm really hoping, especially with the economy moving in the way it's moving, Joe, we're going to see some good stuff happen in the midterm elections.
Todd, you're exactly right. You keep up the good work. I'm running into more and more people that listen to the great Todd Starnes show, and they all love Todd Starnes.
They keep better. Up, my friend. They better, Joe. They better. Hey, let me ask you a question. Joe, are you do you enjoy Coca-Cola? Do you drink any of the Coke products, a soft drink guy?
I had it at lunch today, and I've owned Coca-Cola stock for about 30 years, and it's really done. Buffett bought $1 billion worth of Coke stock
wow.
in 1990. That Coke stock today is worth $21 billion. He's made about $20 billion on Coca-Cola. So, yes, I love Coca-Cola, and I love the stock.
Well, you know, they sell Mr. Pibb. I'm a Dr. Pepper man myself, but Mr. Pibb, and they're launching two new flavors, something called Punch and Peach and Thrillin' Vanilla. Have you tried it, Joe?
No, I hadn't, but I'm also on, I don't own Dr. Pepper, but I also own, along with Coke, I also own Pepsi stock, and both of them, as you know, have done extremely well.
Wait, you won't, so isn't that like cheating? I mean, you won't stock in both companies?
Well, you know, I'm a Georgia Tech grad, and if you order a soft drink at Georgia Tech football game, it's got to be Coca-Cola.
You got that right.
Great market. They're like Todd Starnes. They know how to market their product.
That's it. Yes, sir, they do. All right, Joe from LJ, good hearing from you, my friend. Let's go to Jacksonville, North Carolina. Lou, listening to us on The Talk Station. Oh, I owe Lockwood a call. I forgot to answer his text message. Whoops. Lockwood, I'll be texting you after the show. Lou, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it to attention. We have active duty and retired military, and our medical care is and all that great through, well, they formed the Defense Health Agency, DHA. And I got to watch what I say, because unlike the senator, when you retire and you receive a retirement check, you can look at it as a retainer check. So they'll call you back and have you and hang you from the highest tree. So what I'm saying is DHA, Defense Health Agency, has been a fiasco since inception. They have a program to log in that no one at the hospital, nor do the people who are supposed to run the program know how to actually access it. So our care is at a minimum. DHA, Defense Health Agency, is conformed to streamline our medical care and allow us to have better medical care.
Lou, let me ask you a question. Have you reached out to your local congressperson there in Jacksonville, North Carolina? Have you reached out to the VA Medical Center or any of the, I know in a lot of communities, especially with large military populations, they'll have resources for you, assistance that can help you with that. You might want to consider reaching out, because I know that Doug Collins, who is heading up all of this, the VA secretary, is really passionate about making sure that you guys are taken care of. So that's where I would encourage you to start. And if that doesn't get you anywhere, you give us a call back, and we'll see what we can do at the VA. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. A lot happening in world affairs, and we thought it would be great to have a conversation with Tommy Pigott, who is the principal deputy spokesperson over at the State Department. Let's take a listen in. All right, let's go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And as we said, Tommy Pigott is with us. Tommy, you guys have to be celebrating after this tremendous State of the Union address the other night.
It really was tremendous, and I think it was a clear vision that
the president laid out from the foreign policy perspective, I think one of the most important lines of the night was when the president said that he seeks peace where we can, but he will not hesitate to stand up for America where we must. And I think that is the real definition of peace through strength. And we see that not just in words from the speech, but in actions from this president. If you look at all of the ways that he's advanced America's interests. So I thought an incredibly powerful speech, so many different emotional moments, and a real clear vision from this president about what he's accomplished, but also about where we're going.
And that's a big part of it. Certainly, there's been a lot of concern about what's going to happen next in Iran. I thought it was somewhat sobering to see even Senator Chuck Schumer coming out of a private briefing saying, hey, look, this is a serious situation here. What is the situation, Tommy, and what can you share with us?
Well, I think putting this in context is an important place to start in the sense of the maximum pressure policy that President Trump reinstituted from the beginning of his administration. And those were sanctions and other actions that were implemented that are meant to deny the regime the revenue they need to continue their malicious activities. And that includes the nuclear weapons program, that includes ballistic missiles, that includes funding their foreign terrorist proxies. I think fundamentally, and the president's made this clear, the bottom line is that the Iranian regime cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if anyone doubts that President Trump means what he says, all they need to do is look back to the last time that the Iranian regime refused a deal, and we saw Operation Midnight Hammer.
Well, we did. No doubt about it. There is a lot of military hardware in the Middle East right now. It certainly appears that the president is sending a message here. I'm wondering if the Iranians are actually getting that message.
Well, I think, first of all, the force posture reflects our interest in the region. We have U.S. troops in the region. We have allies in the region. And as Secretary Rubio has described, we have a force posture that reflects that. I think it also is indicative of President Trump's approach of peace through strength. He's built the most powerful military in the history of the world. But he is a peacemaker. He is a deal maker. So I think fundamentally the president, as he's made clear, wants a deal here. He wants to see the Iranian regime make a deal. But as the president has also made clear, if they refuse to make a deal, it will be very bad for them. So I'm not going to preview exactly what the president may decide. That's ultimately his decision. But he's been clear he wants to see a deal, and if the Iranian regime refuses, it'll be very bad for them.
You know, I've wondered how you guys respond to even people within the Republican circles who say we should not be doing anything with Iran. We should be isolationists. We should only be concerned with what's happening right here in America. These are the folks that are saying, to hell with Israel. We should not be helping Israel, our most cherished ally. How do you guys respond to that kind of criticism coming from our own side of the aisle?
Well, everything comes back to making America safer, stronger, and more prosperous. Everything does. That's the standard that from the first day the secretary came into the State Department, he told all of us that that was the standard by which we should judge every single one of our actions. And as the secretary discussed, and as President Trump said in his speech at the State of the Union, we see an Iranian regime that is threatening U.S. interests through their ballistic missile program. We cannot allow the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, which is the Iranian regime, to have a nuclear weapon. We cannot allow that to happen. That is a direct threat. That would be a direct threat to the national security of the United States of America. But make no mistake, we're continually putting America first. That's what we're doing here. All of these actions are about making America stronger. And I think undeniably, if you look at the results of the last year, we see a stronger America. We see America that's respected. We see an America that is standing up for our interests in terms of withdrawing from international institutions that are working against our interests. An America that is pushing for our allies to step up when it comes to defense spending. In NATO, for example, seeing our allies spending 5% of GDP. A revamped assistance program that is aligned with our national interests to make sure that all of our assistance programs are further our national interests. And we're working with partners to make sure one day they don't need that assistance when it comes to aid or otherwise, that they're building their own capacity. So we see a United States of America under President Trump that is putting America first, putting our national interests first, and always fighting for the American people.
And that's the bottom line. And sometimes, Tommy, that means that you have to take action against a nation like Iran, for example, just we're hypothetically speaking here. But if another nation is doing something that puts American people in harm's way, of course the president's going to react to that.
Well, as the secretary said, it's not a secret. It's been something we've discussed for a while, that the Iranian regime is developing that ballistic missile program, ballistic missiles that are intercontinental, that they're trying to develop that. So that's something the secretary discussed. Again, a real threat to America's national interests. and the president retains his options. He retains his options to defend the national interests of the United States of America. Like I said, he is a peacemaker. He's a deal maker. But his bottom line here is that the Iranian regime, again, the leading state sponsor of terror, cannot have a nuclear weapon. That is the bottom line. President Trump has made that very clear. If they were to have a nuclear weapon, that would be a direct threat to the United States of America.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we're honored to be speaking with Tommy Pickett, who is the principal deputy spokesperson for the State Department. You know, Tommy, looking closer to home, what's been happening in Mexico and these cartels, I think a lot of people were really surprised to know that these cartels, we're not just talking about gangbanger thugs. I mean, these are very well-organized cartels. They have criminal organizations, and they have military power down there.
And these transnational criminal organizations are a real threat. We have seen actions from the State Department under the Trump administration to designate these cartels as what they are, narco-terrorists. And we see these transnational narco-terrorists operating in different countries across our region, sometimes even with more military capability than the nation in which they are operating. That is the level of threat that we are dealing with. The Trump administration, President Trump, has enacted an all-of-government approach to combat these narco-terrorists, to address the flow, stop the flow of deadly fentanyl into our country. That includes securing the border, but that also means working with our partners across the region to combat these narco-terrorists where they operate, to stop their operations, to stop the flow of deadly drugs into our country. The leading cause of death for Americans aged 18 to 45 are overdoses fueled by illicit fentanyl. So this is something we're taking incredibly seriously, that we're addressing, we're stopping. President Trump mentioning in the State of the Union how we have seen the level of illegal fentanyl across the border drop north of 50% since he took office. But we're not stopping. We're continuing to combat these narco-terrorists. And when it comes to Mexico, something I wanted to mention there, when we saw the recent events, the State Department acted swiftly to set up a 24/7 hotline for Americans needing assistance, fielding hundreds of calls for Americans, mostly doing with flight cancellations, but asking what they should do, asking for information. So we had that hotline set up very swiftly, 24/7, fielding those calls, really living up to that commitment, that our highest commitment is the safety and security of the American people.
Yeah, well said. All right. And the secretary, he, you know, got a nice shout out there. I mean, he's doing all these jobs for the president. I'm telling you, your boss is crushing it these days.
He is indeed. It's an honor to work for him, honor to work for President Trump. Really, the whole administration, there's a spirit here about putting America first. I think it goes to that Munich speech that the secretary gave, where he laid out President Trump's vision about revitalization, a revitalization of our country. That decline is a choice that we can reject, and we are rejecting it under President Trump. And I think that infuses everyone here about the opportunities ahead of us. Yes, the challenges we need to address, but the opportunities that are waiting for us if we position ourselves to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
And so we are every single day working for that, working for the American people, and it's an honor to do it.
All right, Tommy, always good touching base with you. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go, folks, and they're just crushing it over there at the State Department and the entire administration. My recommendation to all of you folks, again, don't go on vacation to Mexico right now. It's just too dangerous, and if you want to experience something south of the border, go to Taco Bell. They'll be happy to help you out. We'll be right back. So, Dylan, when Matt Velasquez picked me up at the airport, Houston, was it Houston International, Bush Intercontinental, whatever? It's, that thing is massive, and it's under, like, massive construction, and you have to take a subway. But, Dylan, the subway cars are, like, teeny tiny from, like, the 1940s or something, and they fit, like, two people. And you're just, like, rattling along. I'm like, what? I landed at one terminal, but then I had to go to an entirely different terminal to get my luggage.
That sounds like a nightmare.
I'm like, I know. I'm thinking, what happens if this thing breaks down? Uh-huh. How do you get out? You know, and it's very strange.
That sounds like a claustrophobe's worst nightmare.
It's sort of like if you've been to the top of the St. Louis Arch.
That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, that's exactly what it reminded me
of.
My
mom was so mad at me because I refused to go up there at the ripe age of like 12. I shouldn't have been scared at all.
No, you should have been scared. I was a grown man when I went up for the first time, and we finally get up there, and I'm like, is it just me, or is this thing moving?
Oh, yeah, and it is.
It was
moving.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, it moves so it doesn't fall down, but that doesn't make any sense in my brain.
We got some fan mail, Dylan. Mm-hmm.
Love fan mail.
Well, you can't mess with fan mail. So let's get right to it. This is from Keith. He says, "Attention, Todd and Dylan.
Oh,
may I just say that every person who sends us mail, they always misspell your name.
Yeah."
And it's always misspelled. It's misspelled the correct way. I mean, it's everybody's misspelling it the same way.
How it should be.
Yeah.
Is it the Dillan?
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
I guarantee you because they watch Gunsmoke.
Probably.
It's Matt Dillon.
Yeah, and I'm not him, and they don't like that.
You're like Gen Z Dillon. That's Dillon with a Y.
Way worse. I'm a worse version.
We don't judge. And you're a married man.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is from Keith, who listens to the show out in Kansas. And we just love all of our great Kansas listeners. Todd and Dylan, just wanted to say thank you again for the Dentschel's chocolates that you arranged to be delivered on Valentine's Day. Please thank Becky Dentschel for helping me make this a very special day for my wife of 54 years. As you can see, not only was my wife excited, so was one of our cats.
Oh.
He took a picture. The cat was trying to eat the chocolate.
Well, I'm glad we got to do
that. It's great chocolate, right? All right. Well, Keith, I'm so happy for you. Happy anniversary to you and the missus. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And every Wednesday, so don't panic, it's actually Thursday, but I wanted to have the guys join us on Thursday since I was out yesterday and traveling back from Houston. We invite our friends from Strategic Financial Partners to join us, and we talk about money and how to protect your money and also take questions. I know a lot of you have questions about, you know, retirement funds or starting funds for your kids going off to college, or just really, you know, what's the process of even starting to save money to buy a house? Well, Adam Martin and Chris Loftus from Strategic Financial Partners, their website, strategicfinancialpartners.com, are two of the smartest guys I know when it comes to money. And guys, good to have you back with us. And Adam, I know you guys are Friday. You watched the State of the Union address.
We did.
You came in here like raring to go.
You know, being a military guy, what I want any president, regardless of political affiliation, to do for our country is to always put us in a position of strength. And I couldn't think of any other speech in history that was more powerful than that one.
Yeah. What about you? I mean, you're a young guy.
I'm a young guy,
Chris. So yeah. What was your takeaway?
Well, my first thought, I'm a student of history, and to see one of the last great men from the greatest generation get honored with a Medal of Honor was just a privilege to be able to see that. I got to watch that on TV. But to be able to see what else is going on, the victories, the wins. I think too often, especially young Americans, we get bogged down in the bad news of the day, right? Because that's what catches our eye first. But if you want to look two steps ahead and you get to see, hey, what exactly are we winning at? How are we getting ahead? What are the victories we can say, hey, we're doing this right, we're doing it well, and we're doing it the right way? I think it's a big, big deal for our country right now, especially for the next generation, to see those people as they're getting recognized for their service to the country, but at the same time seeing what we're winning at now for our future.
And I know the president mentioned the Trump accounts, which is like a huge topic of conversation. Have you guys been getting a lot of calls from people asking, okay, what do we do here?
We have. And the simplest thing for any of the listeners out there listening in regards to Trump accounts, it's the middle of tax season. You're going to be talking to your CPA. That's who's going to help you fill out the IRS Form 4547, where you're going to check the box that says, yes, I want a Trump account, and yes, I do want the $1,000 contribution.
And that's a pretty simple, easy thing. But, if they reach out to you guys, that's the advice you're going to be sharing with
them. Yeah, because we can't file it for you, and you're naturally going to be working with whoever your CPA is or the tax firm that you work with, and they're going to be the ones that submit that form for you.
That's good. Well, that's good intel. And, again, folks, if you have any questions at all that you'd like to ask, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You just took a slurp, which we could hear on the radio, so you're drinking a beverage.
Apologies.
No, it's all good. I'm doing, what beverage are you drinking in there?
It's a Smoothie King. I've got a one-year-old at home, and I had a rough night last night, so I had to get an extra shot of energy before I came on the radio.
No, I was looking for one of those at the airport yesterday. I'm like, where is Smoothie King? I'm about to keel over here. But, well, the reason I asked that is because Coca-Cola has two new Mr. Pibb flavors coming out. I'm a Dr. Pepper guy. So I think you're either Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb. And I'm just curious, does this interest you at all? Punchin' Peach or Thrillin' Vanilla?
If somebody told me I was vanilla, I think they would call me boring. So mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, Punchin' Peach seems like more my style, Adam.
I think I would go the vanilla route just because I've had a vanilla Coke before and I can't imagine it would taste much different.
Dylan, are you a Mr. Pibb guy or a Dr. Pepper guy?
Mr. Pibb is like the off-brand and sometimes you can really tell. But I feel like the vanilla would go better with that combination. Mm. I can't imagine a fruity taste with my Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. yeah. While both flavors are, that reminds me, is there like a blueberry or blackberry
Dr.
Pepper?
Yeah, they do
Pepper?
Like the raspberry really? And blueberries.
Yeah. It's terrible. I got out my little Gideon's New Testament out of the glove compartment. I saw that and I like rebuked it in the name of Jesus right there. Come back, original flavor. So according to this, Punchin' Peach introduces new vibrant peach notes for a bright, fruitier profile, while Thrillin' Vanilla incorporates smooth vanilla for a layered, indulgent finish. Yum, yum.
Yum. Why fix it if it isn't broke?
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of broke, you know, when it comes to figuring out your finances in your house, a lot of people say it's, you know, husband does it and then the wife does it. Everybody just kind of like jumps in. Let's talk about adding a financial professional to your household and why is that so vitally important?
I think it's as simple as you already implement professionals in your life on a daily basis. You have a dentist because they fix your teeth. You have a doctor when something ails you. You put these particular professionals in place because you don't want to self-diagnose or you don't want to try to fix it yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the same that goes with a financial advisor. We're not just here to invest your money. We're not here to sell you some insurance. We listen first. We want to sit down and figure out what's the pain point. You know, what is it that you need help with? And that's where we're going to focus first. And then we're going to tie it all together.
Chris, when do you start that process?
Well, you start it when, preferably before anything happens. But a lot of people do when they start to see an issue that they need a solution for. We do something called holistic financial planning. What that is we're not just going to look at if your arm's falling off and say, okay, your arm's falling off, we're going to fix that, when the reality is your whole body needs work, right? So what that means is we look at a 100,000-foot view, whether you are a young professional just starting a new job or a new career, you are in the early stages or any stage, really, of the family planning process with a spouse, or if you are looking at a retired situation, hey, I'm about to retire, thinking about retirement. I've got these assets. Where should they go? How do they work for me? How should I utilize them? All those are examples of times where it is crucial to be able to have the right kind of guidance to be able to go to and have those conversations with what works best for me.
I think a lot of folks, you know, they have this mentality, okay, I'm just starting out. I'm barely making minimum wage. So why does someone like me need a financial advisor? But it's really not about the money, though, I don't think.
It's not. It's about building your confidence. You know, it's really us being able to sit down and say, this world's huge. The financial landscape is huge. Where do we start? And it's always about that first domino to fall. Once the first one falls, the rest fall right behind it. And so that's what we want to do is get out in front of it and say, hey, what you're thinking about is too broad. Let's narrow this down and let's put some steps in place to get it accomplished.
And it's another thing, Todd, there, you were asking me about, you know, as the young person, what I thought about the State of the Union. Something I think my generation has unfortunately bought into is the lie that, hey, we can't have goals because they're unaffordable. We can't aspire to go achieve these things or buy a house or, you know, own a business one day or start a business. because we've attributed a number to it that we think or we've been told is unrealistic. And that's just not the case. And something Adam and I are trying to change the narrative on is that, hey, you're allowed to dream those dreams. You're allowed to have those goals. And we're here to be able to help you think through those critically and strategically and hit those milestones when they count.
You know, it reminds me of a kid we interviewed years ago at Fox News, and he had wanted to deliver a valedictory address for something and was not able to. And so anyway, he sort of kept in touch over the years and sent me a note. He had just graduated from Grand Canyon University, and he said, "Mr. Stearns, I graduated, got a full-time job, and I just bought my first house." And he's like, you know, 23 years old. So it's actually doable. And what I said, well, how are you able to do that? He said, well, most of his friends were going out and spending a lot of money on coffee and avocado toast. He was putting his money away, and he was saving it.
Well, it's about being intentional, right? It's entirely about being intentional and realizing, hey, the good times don't last, right? And it's what you do during the good times that prepare you for the bad times.
All right, so we have Adam Martin, who is a financial advisor with us, Chris Loftus, a financial services rep from our good friends at strategicfinancialpartners.com. If you have a question you'd like to ask the guys about finances, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And Adam, I think it's almost a foreign concept for a lot of people, you know, that they think financial advisors are for super wealthy people. But what kinds of things can a financial advisor help with just beyond investments?
Insurance is one thing that comes to mind. You know, one of the things, like your gentleman that just graduated and bought a new house, well, he took on some debt and he's going to get married, have a family. So we work with them to say, hey, what's the right insurance to put in place? Because if something happens to you, we want to be able to pay off that mortgage so that your wife and kids don't have to worry about how are we going to make ends meet. And so that's what we call the risk mitigation of your planning. So we'll talk to you about an insurance solve, disability insurance. You know, a lot of people don't understand that your number one asset is your ability to earn an income. If we get disabled and we can't go and do our job, well, how do we pay our bills? So we work with people in that regard. And it's not just about investing in the market. Yes, that's a component, but the comprehensive plans. If you want to know what do I need to do, if you're that type of person that says, just map it out for me, we can do that for you.
And I'd add to that, there are a lot of different components that people just don't really think about. Things like an emergency fund, for one thing. Thinking about how retirement readiness doesn't start when you hit age 50. Retirement readiness starts when you're 25, when you're 27, 30, when you get into that full-time career and you're looking at, okay, hey, what things do I need to put in place now in terms of habits, healthy habits, that are going to set me up for long-term success when I need it to hit?
And that's a great point, because a lot of young people in this generation, they're doing something very unusual. They're getting married very early. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of folks in the millennial generation, they were putting marriage off until their 30s. Now you've got kids coming right out of college, mm-hmm. or in some cases high school, getting married. And by the time they're 22, 23, they've already got kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Todd, I've got about three couple clients, all under the age of 24. And two of them own and run their own businesses, and they're growing and they have goals. I love working with those kinds of individuals, because they're one of two types of people: dreamers who have learned how to be doers, or doers who have learned how to be dreamers. And they're so motivated, Todd, to make their life the way they see and build their family in a way that will set them up for future success. And they're trying to do the right things now instead of making mistakes now and learning it later.
I love this. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Adam, let's say somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, all right, you know, I could probably use a smidge of guidance here. What's the first step?
The first step is admitting you have a problem. No, I'm just kidding. No, pick up the phone, and if you have a financial professional, or if you have a friend who has one, work with them if that's who you're comfortable with. I just want to help as many people, and we're here and available for that. So, you know, I can give you my phone number, 901-260-2438. Just give us a call. Lay it all out and let us help you figure out a path forward.
And something just, again, to add to that, I know I add a lot to what Adam says. Adam's the genius here. But the main thing there is, look, don't be afraid of saying, oh, if I get into this, I'm overcommitting it to something. That's not it at all. We want to simply have a 15-minute consultation, free consultation, to where we can sit down and not diagnose you on the spot, but hear about what is going on and be able to see some of those blind spots that you're kind of worried about, kind of concerned about, and want to make sure you're addressing properly.
Yeah, I love this. It's great. And folks, again, these are the kinds of folks that we want to bring to you every week here on the show that are going to be able to help you and protect your finances and protect you from those things that might pop up in, you know, the day-to-day of life. When folks go to strategicfinancialpartners.com, Adam, what are they going to discover when they get there?
You'll see the power and strength of our firm as a whole. We have a proven process, and you'll see that immediately on our website, where it's got our core values. It shows the list of associate advisors that we have in the firm, and we can literally handle anything and everything, even small benefits for small companies. We've got a 401k division, so if you want to implement that to your business, and find an advisor that's close to you. We're spread out, so we've got offices in Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee. So we would love to work with
you. And you guys, can you take calls nationwide from folks? All right, so there you go. Again, folks, strategicfinancialpartners.com. And if you have a question, give us a call at 901-260-5926. Guys, before we let you go, there was a story that they put in my stack of stuff from the New York Post. Do you guys meditate? I mean, what do you do just like chill out?
I'm a music guy. I like to throw in my AirPods and just listen to some music.
See, I'm the same way, but I'm a trumpet player. So if I want to relax and just kind of, you know, get my mind off stuff, I'll play my trumpet, play some music, jazz, typically swing. So that's kind of what I do.
The problem with that is if you are Chris's next door neighbor and you're trying to meditate, blowing their horn. I think that would be it. By the way, speaking of that, did you see the celebrations after the U.S. men's hockey?
Oh man,
and the pubs and everything, and they were playing Freebird.
Uh huh.
So
my favorite is when the hockey team is singing the national anthem in the Miami bar. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. So you brought this up, so this is on you for bringing this up. But if you look at that video, we mentioned this earlier in the show. This was an adult establishment that had poles. And you noticed, when they were singing the national anthem, they scanned the crowd, and the dancing girls were standing at attention by their poles.
I love it. I love it.
Hand over their hearts.
Yeah.
I hope they weren't Navy vets. kidding.
Wow. Kidding. All right. Yes. Thank you for that, Chris. So anyway, back to the New York Post story. People are now meditating. Oh, what do you do for meditation, Dylan?
Long naps. I don't know if that doesn't count, I don't think.
Oh, I'd say that counts. As a fellow young person, I'd say that very much counts.
But I also play the trumpet, but I don't, it's not meditation for me. I don't know.
People are now meditating inside coffins in Japan. And they encourage people to gaze at life through being conscious of death. I'm not sure I'd take a nap in a coffin.
My brother used to work at a funeral parlor, and they locked him in a coffin once as a prank. I don't think he meditated very well that day.
You know, death and taxes are the two inevitable things in life. I'm not trying to speed up that process.
Absolutely
yeah,
not.
I'm good.
Absolutely
yeah,
not.
I'm good. Give me my pillow. That's what I want. All right, guys, we've got Ken on the line from Southern California. And Ken, I understand that you've got a question for the guys.
Yes, I do. I've got a quick two-part question, and I'll give you my scenario of what I'm looking at. I've been a follower of yours, Todd, since Trump came down the golden staircase. I'll be 65 this year. Am I in good shape, and what's my next step? I have a 401k worth about $300,000. I have a $70,000 stock account. I keep $5,000 in cash around all the time, and I have another account tucked away that's left over of my father's estate that's worth $90,000.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the question. And the first thing I'd ask you, it's a Social Security related question. Are you planning to take your full benefit, or are you planning to defer?
I plan on working till I'm 68.
Okay. So
On a surface level,
you've done a really good job at accumulating some assets, and you've got some cash for some cash reserves. I would love to speak with you off the air just to gather a little bit more information, and then that way we can try to give you some better guidance. But I would say, right now, thinking about the guaranteed income streams, what you save for retirement, the first thing you should do is what is your living expenses going to look like in retirement?
And Ken, what we're going to do, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get your information, and we're going to get it to the guys here because we are super late for a break, but they will definitely reach out. All right, Adam, Chris, great to see you guys.
Good to have you back.
All right, got to take a break here, folks. Again, 901-260-5926, strategicfinancialpartners.com. Go check out the website. We'll be right back. Wow, that was a busy first day back, everybody. We love our friends over at Strategic Financial Partners, and they do some great work. And it doesn't matter if you are in the Memphis area or wherever you are across America. We had Ken calling in from Southern California. Those guys are looking forward to helping you out with your finances and your financial questions. All right. I want to remind you and encourage you to head over to Amazon. I'm really excited about, we're starting the early promotion of my brand new book project called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I would love for you to pre-order a copy. You can do that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. We're really encouraging folks, just make it easy and cheaper. Go to Amazon.com. Again, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. All right, we will see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Get out there and be good, everybody.